Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share this message with you entitled, No Schism in the Body. Every person who makes Jesus Christ Lord of their life is born again as a member of the body of Christ. No matter what denomination or what sign hangs out in front of your church, we are all members of the one and only body of Christ. The devil has done everything possible to cause division in God's body by convincing one group that they have more of God than another, or that some members of the body are less necessary than others. We are told that there are to be no schisms in the body. Each one of us has a responsibility to see to it that we honor all the members of the body of Christ and refuse to be a tool used by the enemy to bring division. I hope this message blesses you. We're going to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being so good to us. Hallelujah. Father, you are so wonderful. You take such good care of us. Even through the technical difficulties, Father, you're always the same. You never change. And I'm just so thankful for all that you're doing in our lives. Heavenly Father, as I deliver this word that you have given to me to speak, Father, I believe that it's going to come across with clarity. And I believe, Father, that it's going to minister to the hearts and lives of the people that listen to it, both live and afterwards. I thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we glorify you and praise you. Holy Ghost, you are the teacher. We welcome you to teach us. And in the name of Jesus, I come against any of the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for this message this evening. I believe it's going to help many people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, we're going to talk about something that God has been teaching me about in the last week or so. And he woke me up this morning about 3:30 and had me looking at some verses that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. And what it's going to be regarding is about the body of Christ. And the lessons that he's been teaching me regarding the body of Christ is about how, and as I say this, I'm telling on myself, so I'm not telling on anybody else, just me. It's how I had the misconception that people that, let's say, didn't have the fullness of the Spirit. How's that? In other words, maybe they didn't pray in tongues the way I pray in tongues. Maybe they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost the way I experienced it. Well, I got to a place, and it was just, part of it was the influence of people that were around me. But I got to the place that I began to look at the people that didn't have the same experiences that I've had, but who were saved. You know, they knew Jesus. I looked at them as if they weren't quite as saved as I was. How's that? Isn't that terrible? Maybe they weren't as spiritual as me. When I really look at it and I really evaluate it, it's terrible to think that you almost can see yourself looking down your nose at someone else's spirituality, and yet they're saved. But they don't pray in tongues, or they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I must have something over on them. Oh, that's terrible. And again, I'm telling on myself, it's terrible to have that kind of misconception. And, you know, God has used people within the last 6 months to really minister to me. People who, you know, maybe they don't believe exactly the way I believe. Maybe they still even go to a denominational church. And yet, God speaks to them. I know, it's a revelation. God really does speak to them. And through them, he's ministered to me. And I think what God has done has been to put me in these situations where these people are influencing me, they're affecting me, and they're proving to me that they really do hear from God. And I look at that situation, I look at the fact that maybe our doctrines don't mesh 100%, and yet, you know, I'm able to receive from them. And not just that, but I'm learning that we're all part of the same body. You know, anytime you get in a group of people, I don't care what the group is, and you think, hey, we've got it all, I got news for you. You don't. There's no group that has it all, especially when that group is beginning to isolate itself from the rest of the body. And maybe acting like the rest of the body, they don't have what this group has. Can you, when I put it in those terms, can you see just how dangerous that idea is? Or maybe this person over here who's a Christian, but they don't pray in tongues the 4 or 5 hours a day that I do. Oh, for heaven's sakes! If that statement isn't full of pride, I don't know what is. Those are the kind of things that are dangerous. Am I saying don't pray in tongues? Oh, heavens, no. But when you begin to measure your spirituality on the fact that you pray 4 hours a day and that other person doesn't, and I don't think they're even filled with the Holy Ghost, so they can't even hear God, now you're in trouble. Now you're walking in dangerous ground, because that's where the enemy lives. In that divisiveness, in that pridefulness. I mean, isn't he the one that, because he fell into pride, found himself cast away from God? Of course. So, what God has been showing me, and he's done it in a variety of different ways, is the dangers of thinking that any one group or anybody has everything, all their doctrine lined up, perfect, that they're perfect, because no one is. Everyone has issues in some area with their doctrine. Nobody's got it all right. We're all striving, heading for the mark, pressing towards the mark. But hey, you know, there's still room for improvement. I don't care who you are. There's room for improvement. And when we think that we can isolate ourselves from the rest of the body of Christ, or maybe, you know, I can't learn anything, or I can't receive anything from that individual because, you know, I've heard some of their doctrine and it is a little bit off, you know. Hey, it doesn't mean that they are not a child of God. And it doesn't mean that God still can't talk to them, even if their doctrine may be a little bit off in areas. You know, and when I say that, don't misunderstand. I mean, when it comes to, are they going to heaven? Have they made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life? Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? See, those are heaven and hell issues. Those are paramount. That you can't have wrong in your doctrine. Well, you know, when it comes down to the issues that are not heaven and hell issues, the issues as far as is the person baptized in the Holy Ghost, have they had the experience of praying in tongues, and do they pray in tongues? When it comes to those issues, do they believe in laying on of hands and being healed? And it's that type of thing that I'm talking about. And let's say that they still have questions in those areas, but they love Jesus, they love God, they're born again, they're washed in the blood, they're going to heaven. Praise God. Let's fellowship with each other. Let's love on one another. Let's not find things to divide ourselves. That's what the enemy wants to do, is take the body of Christ and fraction it into this camp over here. They don't believe in tongues. Well, this camp over here does. Well, they stick their tongue out at the other people. Oh, my goodness, let's get out of kindergarten. We're all part of the same body. Now, I know that there's some major issues that, you know, not heaven or hell issues, but, you know, we got some people that they don't believe they can cut their hair. They, you know, women can't cut their hair. They can't wear jewelry. They have to wear dresses. You know, all that kind of stuff. That is not heaven and hell issues. They believe in Jesus. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. Let's gather together around the issues that we can agree on, that are heaven and hell issues that we do agree on, and in fellowship with one another based on that. Because look, when we get to heaven, and this is going to be a revelation to some of you, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be, oh, this area over here. Well, that's just for the Baptist. That's funny. Well, that area over there, that's the tongue talker Pentecostals. Yeah, the Baptists don't go over there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Do you see how ludicrous we have become? And it's the devil that's gotten in, that's convinced us that we need to segregate ourselves from one another. When we get to heaven, that Baptist label is going to fly off as you're going up, or that Pentecostal label is going to do the same thing. When you get there, you're not going to segregate yourself in heaven based on your denominations. When you get to heaven, it's going to be the body. And it's supposed to be that way right here. And that's what God has been teaching me. He's been showing me just how screwed up I've been thinking about these things. Just how wrong the misconceptions that I've had. And it's not been something that, you know, I would just necessarily come out and say outright, but it's this thought pattern in my mind that I, you know, I look at people and I think, well, you know, that person, they, you know, they go to the denominational church. They don't really know very much. They probably don't hear God's voice. And I'm telling you what, if God hasn't, it's almost like he's been over backwards to prove me wrong. To show me these people are my children and I love them and they love me and they hear my voice and they follow me and they, you know, because they don't have certain, you know, moving of the Spirit in their services doesn't mean that they're any less than of a Christian or any more of a Christian, that you all are equal. See, that's what God's been showing me. And here's how he did it. It, just here as of late, he had me go to a men's conference, and I'm telling you, I didn't want to go because the organization that held the men's conference, you know, there's a few things that I've heard him say that we don't line up on the same sheet of music together with what the person, the head of the ministry, says, okay? So whenever the Lord put it in my heart and in Debbie's heart that I needed to go to that, I was a little bit reluctant. I kept thinking, you know, Lord, I could spend this money on a lot of other things as opposed to leaving town and going there. But I went anyway. And, you know, he used just common people to open my eyes to God's presence in their life. And I mean, I'm just not the same person. And as a result, I realize if I would have not gone based on the fact that, hey, you know, our doctrine is just a little hair off each other, I don't think I need to fellowship with you because of that, I would have missed God's blessing. I would have missed it. And shame on me if I would have let that happen. So the verse of scripture that God woke me up this morning at 3:30 to share with me is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and begin looking there. And my hope is that what I'm teaching here, whether you're watching it live or you're watching it videotape later, doesn't matter, or listening to it, my hope is that what God is dealing with me about, possibly it's an area in your own life that he might be wanting to deal with you about, but you may have had the door shut so tight that you're not even interested in listening to him. And maybe that's something you want to reconsider, okay? So let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is very common ground here. This is not some, you know, new revelation. And as I just said that, the thought came to me, comment about new revelation. You know, we just got to stop thinking that every time a preacher opens his mouth, that it has to be a brand new revelation. You know, that right there, yeah, there's something innately wrong about that. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin. I just love Kenneth E. Hagin, gone on to be with the Lord. But, you know, he made a comment in one of the tapes I listened to where he said, you know, you eat that same, you know, meat and potatoes, and you eat that. You could eat that 5 days a week, you know, and you don't get tired of that. And it's the same way here. You know, thinking you have to have some new revelation, look, just go and read the Bible. Just read it and let God feed your spirit with maybe the same thing that you've read 100 times. But when you go at it and you look at it, and you're not looking for some deep revelation. You're just reading the Word just because you love the Word and you love the Lord. You'll be surprised. There'll be an excitement. And it really should be that way. Even if you're looking at the same thing you've looked at 100 times, there's still an anticipation. Hey, there's something here that I have not seen before, and I want to see it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We're going to read a good portion of this just because I want you to get the whole flavor of this chapter. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now he's getting ready to tell us about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. He's setting all of this up. These are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Now, I want you to notice this. 3:30 this morning, I'm looking at this verse, and the Holy Ghost began to show me this. Dividing to, I want you to say every. Does that say every? Oh, no, Mark. It just says to Holy Ghost filled people. Does it really? I don't see that. Now, I'm not saying that being filled with the Holy Ghost isn't an advantage when it comes to ministering in the gifts. But this does not say that a prerequisite to having the gifts flow through you is that you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that. And I didn't realize that till this morning. It says that he, read it again, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Not as we will, as he wills. So Mark, what are you saying? I'm saying, I've seen a person, not a tongue talker, possibly not even filled with the Holy Ghost, ministering in the gifts, not, you know, particularly just, I'm trying to remember what exactly the gift was that I saw manifested. Word of wisdom, it seemed like, at that moment, an understanding of something that he didn't have prior knowledge of, but I knew that it came from the Spirit of God. So, how does that happen? More importantly, how did we ever get the impression that somebody that wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost couldn't have these happen in their life? Where do we get that? Now, again, I'm not trying to say it's good to not be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. I'm not saying that at all. If you've listened to me at any length of time, you know that that's something that I believe is extremely important. I believe that in being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, that you empower the Holy Ghost to come and be your teacher. And that it opens the door for him to minister to you and through you. But to discount people who don't have that experience, maybe they haven't been taught. Maybe they've been taught wrong. Maybe they've been indoctrinated with something that says that tongues is of the devil. And consequently, they're confused and they don't understand, but they love Jesus with all of their heart. And Jesus talks to them and they hear him. And yet somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought, there's no way God's going to use them in the gifts. Oh, heaven's sakes, that's just not right. God will use anybody he wants to. Hey, if he wants to, he'll talk through a donkey. All right? So we got to stop thinking, look, I'm better than my brother in the Lord over here who's not filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got something more than what they have. Well, I'm better than they are. That's just ridiculous. So let's go on here. Verse 12, for as the body is one... Now we're getting into the body. See right here, that's why I read all that leading up to this. Because now he's going to go right into talking about the body. Now, I just love the way that Paul lays this out. Where by the Holy Ghost, obviously, he's laying this teaching out. And he uses the analogy of a human body in this illustration of the body of Christ. And he says, in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. See, Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. We who are born again in this earth, we make up the body of Christ in the earth. And does that include Baptists? Yes, it does. Does that include Methodists? Does it include Episcopalians? Does it include Lutherans? It includes any person that has made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. That's who it includes. You're a member of the body of Christ, a member, some part of his body. Hallelujah. And there's no part of that, of his body, that is more favored than another part. Did you get that? there's no part that he looks at, he's like, oh my goodness, those people right there, they manifest the Spirit better than anybody else. I love them more. Absolutely not. There's no favorites. We're all his favorite. He loves all of us equally. No matter how much of the Spirit we manifest or don't manifest. If we've been washed in the blood, if we've been born again as children of the living God, we're his children. He can't love us any less or love us any more. He loves us equally. The difference is what we do with what he's made available for us. It doesn't affect his love for us. What it does is it affects our ability to function in his kingdom while on this earth. It affects how we are able to manifest the presence of God. But even at that, even someone that's just born again, and I say just, isn't that sad? They still have the ability for God to manifest himself through them. I truly believe that. And let's go on here and read some more. For by one Spirit, are we all. Look at that word. You see, that it's those words right there that I looked at and I just read right over. Look at that three-letter word, A-L-L, all. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's just no difference. There's no difference in us. You know, that part there where it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. Think about that. I love to teach about baptism. Think about that. Being baptized, being laid down into that watery grave. You know, you see the symbolism with Jonah when he went into the fish's belly and went into, and it was down in the bottom of the ocean, symbolizing Jesus in the belly of the earth. That watery grave that Jonah was in, and Jesus in the grave. See, when we're baptized, we're laid in that watery grave as dead, raised to life. That water that was the watery grave becomes the water of the new birth, just like the water that surrounds the baby inside of his mother. That's whenever you're born again, that water of baptism symbolizes the water of the new birth. You're a new person. You're a brand new person. Hallelujah. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. See, one body. That's the part right there that we have got to get a hold of. It's one body. Well, I just don't feel comfortable around those Methodists or those Baptists, or, you know, they just, you know, those Pentecostal holiness people, they the poor women, they can't wear makeup, they can't wear jewelry, their hair has to be long. I just don't feel comfortable around them. Do they have Jesus in their heart? Do they love Jesus? You know, I see commitment in some of those people's lives. They're as committed as anybody. And to think that anyone is any less because maybe they believe something a little bit differently than what you do. That right there, that mentality is straight from the pit of hell. That we divide ourselves because this person doesn't believe it quite the way I do, and I'm right. See, that right there, that's where you're in trouble. That's where you're in trouble. And, you know, I'll refer to a comment that Kenneth E. Hagin made. You know, he talked about fellowshipping with any of the denominations. He would go and preach in any of the churches. And you think about it, it's like, well, how could they have him in there? They didn't believe in tongues. They didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, he didn't preach about it because they didn't believe it. But what did they agree on? Jesus, the Son of God, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. They had no conflict with him on that. And they could fellowship together. That's the whole point right there. That they didn't separate themselves. Like, you don't talk in tongues. You stay over there. No. And see, and you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus, not only did he not separate himself from people, well, you know, the religious ones he had difficulty with, but normal people, he was right there in the midst of them, and he even went into the bars and talked to the drunks. Now, I'll tell you what, you talk about denominations having trouble, church people having trouble with any of that. See, that's just religion. That's religion. You know, if we think we're just going to hold up in the four walls of the church and the world's going to get saved, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. Somebody's got to go out and tell them. Well, we'll let the Baptists do that. They're the ones that get people saved. That's, you know what? That's just laziness on the part of the people saying that, because they just don't want to do some of the things that God expects us to do. You know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy wasn't an evangelist. He was a pastor. But Paul said the work of an evangelist is necessary for all of us to go and to tell people about Jesus. Don't just, we'll let that denomination do it because that's they're good at that. We won't mess with it. Oh, fooey. Fooey on that. All right, let's go on here. Verse 13, one more time. For by one Spirit are we all, and say that word with me, all baptized into one body. Boy, you know, you could just stop right there and preach a good long message just on that verse. We are all members of one body. You know, I can't get over how in myself, in my mind, how I had become so separated from the rest of the body. You know, because of the fact that, well, they didn't quite believe the way I did. You know, they don't accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so I'm not going to mix with them. I'm going to fellowship with them. I'm telling you what, that will lead to problems. That idea of separating yourself, when in fact we are all members of the body of Christ. Now, yes, we're not going to all agree about the various ancillary points. But as long as we agree on the main points, Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus dying in our place to redeem us from spiritual death, being raised to life again, born again, the firstborn from the dead, and we are joint heirs with him. See, when we can agree on those issues right there, that we can fellowship together, we can love one another, and we're not looking for reasons to separate ourselves from one another. That separating, that can be a dangerous thing. Why do you say so, Mark? The enemy likes to separate people out from the herd, so to speak, so that he can just wipe them out. Or separate groups of people. Get that group over there thinking something. Then the whole group begins to think about the Bible a certain way. And they can't see it any other way but that one way. Well, what if it's not right? Now what do you do? Now, you know, you can't fellowship with anybody else. You see, that's a problem. All right, let's go back here. I'm going to read 13 again. I do like verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, this last part, I'm so glad that the time is working out that we can get into it, these last verses here. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Isn't that ridiculous? The foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. We know that that's not the case. And what's happening here? What you're seeing is two body parts. One's comparing himself against another one. And, you know, we're told in the Bible that we're not to do that. Compare, you know, one person against another. That's not wise. And what is he saying here? That the foot should not say, because I'm not the hand. Is that what it says? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Isn't that what we see at times? Well, you know, I'm comparing myself against somebody else, and boy, I just don't feel like I measure up to them. They must have something more than I do. No, they don't. We've been all made to be baptized into the same body. There's only one. I don't care what the denominational sign is out front of your church. It is still the same body that we are all members of. You know, it's almost like we have this idea when we get to, you know, into eternity, we get to be with Jesus, that, you know, there's going to be the Baptist heaven, there's going to be the Pentecostal heaven, and there's going to be the Methodist heaven. No, it's not going to be that way. Hallelujah. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, oh, I can't go past that. Let's look at that, because in this comparing ourselves against ourselves, which again we're told not to do, when we do that, so often in our own eyes we don't measure up to somebody else. And I'm sure that there are people that feel that way and experience a level of unworthiness. I must not be part of the body. I know I'm not as good as that person. I know that my life isn't as good as theirs. I'm sure there's people that deal with that. And it's not the case. You know, it's not about our actions that save us. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's about his sacrifice. And we don't earn anything by our actions. We don't make ourselves better in the kingdom because of it. We are who we are because of what Jesus did for us, not what we do for him. It's what he has already done for us. I'll read 17 again. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Now, let me clarify something here. Is that saying that if a person goes to the Baptist church or if a person goes to the Methodist church, it's because that's the church that God chose for them and that he sovereignly decided that's where they're supposed to go? No, I'm not saying that at all. Why are they going there? Because they chose to. You know, God, in his greatness, has chosen to allow us to make our own decisions, and that he will not violate our will. If you want to do something, he's not going to stop you. If you want to go rob a bank, he's not going to stop you. Now, you may have to fight that inner witness, your conscience, in order to go do that, but he's not going to stand in front of you and stop you from going. It's your choice. So if you want to go to a church that teaches a doctrine that, you know, that basically takes about a third of the New Testament and trashes it, it's your choice. You can go, and God will love you, and you are a member of the body of Christ. It's just simply the fact that you're missing out on that portion that you eliminated. Okay? That's all it is. You're just missing out on it. Doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. So what does it mean here, Mark, when you read this verse? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Well, very simple. Your place in the body, what God has called you to fulfill in the body of Christ, that place, that calling, if you will, it wasn't chosen by you. For example, me teaching the Bible, that's not my choice. I didn't wake up one day and say, man, I tell you what, I think I'm going to be a Bible teacher. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. No. This is God's calling on my life, and just the same with you. There's a calling to fulfill a place in God's body, or in the body of Christ. And it's your responsibility to discover what that is, allow the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you, and then fulfill it. Now, if you never do, he'll love you and receive you to heaven. But there is going to be a consequence to it. Well, what's it going to be? I'm in heaven. What kind of consequence? Well, it comes down to what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when the fire comes down and he tries the works, our works. You know, whether or not it was the gold, the precious stones, the jewels, or whether when that fire lifts off of the altar, whether it's barren because the wood, hay, and stubble of our poor decisions that we made throughout our life has been burnt and there's nothing left. See, that's when we're going to experience the ramifications for the decisions that we made here. That's when we'll experience it. But it won't mean that you won't be in heaven. Glory to God. That's awesome. You get to be in heaven. It just simply means that what you have to present to him for the life you lived here, you know, that's your offering to him. You're already in heaven. Thank God for it. But I want to have something that I can present to my Father, something I can present to my Lord Jesus as the fruit of a life that has been spent, surrendered to him. I want to be able to present that to him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Hallelujah. And I hope you want the same. Verse 18 again. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So, going back to what I just said. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How do you hear those words? You hear those words because the place that he has called you to in his body, you have surrendered your life to to him, and the Holy Ghost has been able to reveal to you what that place is, and walk you through fulfilling the call in that position in his body. That's it, right there. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So, you know, there's some people that want to be preachers. And not everybody is called to be a preacher. And that's so for some people, they say, praise God, I didn't want to be a preacher anyway. Other people, they don't want it. They don't like that. They wanted to be a preacher now, and they're a businessman. And, you know, it's so funny because I see this so often. You know, one person over here in the body, gee, I wish I was that person over there. You just don't have any idea what that person's life is like as they're attempting to fulfill God's plan for them. It is not without struggle. I don't care what it is that you've been called to. There are challenges. There are struggles. You have to trust God. And whether you're a 9-to-5 person punching a clock every day, living it, you know, alongside all of the sinners, I don't care what it is. there's challenges. And there's not one part of the body that, hey, we got it. Woo, we got it made over here. I'm glad I'm not that foot. I'm glad I'm not that little pinky toe over there. You know, I'm the eyes. You know, I'm the eyes. I'm the mouthpiece. No. And the sooner we can get it out of our heads that, you know, somebody else in the body's got it better off than I do, the better off we're going to be. That is the truth. Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say. Now this is the part right here. This is the part that God was really showing to me this morning. 3:30 in the morning. Thinking about how I had been previously, whether consciously or unconsciously, viewing members of the body of Christ. Think about it. Now look at this. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Oh my goodness. Guilty is charged right here. And if you are honest with yourself, I have a feeling that there's a bunch of us that can say that very thing. I have no need of you. The eye cannot say, and look at the verse again. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. The eye to the hand, I don't need you. I don't have no need of you. Isn't that basically so many of us, and I'm putting myself in that group, have said when we have looked, because we speak in tongues, because we are filled with the Holy Ghost, because we see miracles, we believe in healing, we know that it's God's will to heal, that Jesus paid the price for our healing. Because we know all of that, and we see some person saved, going to heaven, loving Jesus with all of their heart, and yet oblivious. Maybe it's because of where they go to church, who they listen to. Oblivious to all of the benefits that God's made available to us. And not only that, they're not interested in hearing anything about it. And we look at them, it's like, I don't know about that character. I don't know about their walk with the Lord, you know. Oh my goodness. That is religious spirits looking for creating division in the body of Christ, looking at each other, comparing one another. All the things we're told not to do. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are, what? Necessary? Yes. Don't think that because you see verses that other people don't see, that God just loves you a little bit better. He doesn't. He loves us all the same. All the same. There's no big me and little you. Look at that last part of that verse. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. They're necessary. They are necessary. They are necessary. You know, I think about the little old grandmas that have gone to the same little church house week after week, have loved Jesus. You know, maybe their revelation knowledge is not what, you know, what yours is or what mine is. But don't ever think that God loves you or me more than him, more than that person. Because it is simply not the case.
And don't think that in heaven that their rewards are going to be less than yours. Maybe when that fire lifts, you might just think, boy, when that fire lifts, there's going to be jewels and chock full of gold and la, la, la. And that poor little grandma that's gone to that same little denominational church that spoke against tongues, that spoke against healing, that spoke against all those things, that poor little grandma, boy, when that fire lifts, she's probably going to have just a bunch of cold dust laying there, nothing left, just burnt. Don't think that way. You don't know. Maybe she spent nights praying, interceding for her family, praying and just talking to the Lord, ministering to the Lord in as much of the word as she understood. And you know what? God just loves her. And he's for each and every one of us. He's for us all equally. He wants all of us to succeed. Maybe that person that's just where that's where their parents went. That's where their great grandparents went, and that's where they go. They don't know any different. But they love Jesus, and they're born again, and they're going to heaven, and they're all part of the same body that we're part of, and we have no right to think of them less than ourselves. Hallelujah. I'll read that last verse again, 22. Nay, much more. Let me read 20, 21, and 22 one more time. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Boy, I'm telling you. I've been in the services. I've heard from the pulpit comments. And it wasn't so blatantly obvious. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there wasn't someone standing up there saying, you over there, you that group over there, we don't need you. It wasn't that obvious. But it was couched in these phrases and this terminology and this idea that we have it. They really don't. So just stay away from them. Well, I tell you what, that's sad. That's just so sad. And that's not the way Jesus wants it. He wants us all to fellowship with one another, love one another, not sit there and look for the things that can divide us and focus on those, but hey, just focus on what's important. Focus on Jesus. It's so easy. Just focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, oh my goodness, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. That means that that tempering is mixing the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. The part that lacked. He gave more abundant honor to the part that lacked. You see it so often, and you know what I'm talking about. When you turn on the Christian TV, you see the people that they just get so much attention. They draw so much attention, and it seems like they're drawing it to themselves at times. And you talk about honor. It's almost like you think in their minds that, you know, that's where the honor goes. No. No, it's not. It's to the feeble. It's to the ones that we don't honor. Yeah, we give honor. We're so like God in this area. We give honor to the ones that we consider to be the stars. And then the feeble ones, you know, those are the ones that, you know, get kicked to the curb. Oh, Jesus, help us. Yeah, if we could just be more like our Father. You know, he gives more honor to the feeble. Jesus, help us. Verse 25. And here we go. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. It's the same thing that I've said throughout this whole hour. No schisms, no divisions. That we should have the same care for one for another. Whatever the sign says out in front of the church building, doesn't matter, that we have the same care one for another because we're all part of the same body. See, all this attempt to fracture the body, it is orchestrated by the devil himself. Because he knows that if he can fracture the body, that he will separate the power. The power comes when we can gather around and we can fellowship with one another and love each other and not look for reasons to be divisive, but look for reasons to be joined together with each other in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Then he goes in there at the last part talking about the different offices of the fivefold offices of ministry there. So we're not going to go into that tonight because our time's ran out. But the main thing for this message is basically summed up in the verse that says, verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body. That word schisms means division. God is not wanting his body, the body of Christ in the earth, divided. He does not want there to be fractured body parts here, there, and yonder. That's not his plan. I hope you receive something from this. I hope you realize the importance, how vitally important it is to join yourself, to join with others. Maybe they don't see things exactly as you see it. But don't look at those things. Look at the things you can agree on and join in fellowship with people based on that. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I know that this message is an important message for the whole body of Christ. I know that it is. And I know that we've all been guilty of looking at each other, looking at denominations and separating ourselves and our minds from each other. And that's not what you want. Help us, Father. Help us to appreciate that there's many members in this body. Help us to appreciate each and every member. No matter where they go to church, no matter where they fellowship, as long as Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life. Father, I pray that you will use this word to shine a light on the inside, helping each person who's listened to this to see wrong motives in their thinking, to see where they have missed you regarding this separation, the schisms in the body. Thank you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.